today it's my great pleasure to introduce to you a man who has been so far ahead of the pack that if I said he was cutting edge, I'd actually be insulting him for being slow. This is the man who taught us that ulcers could be treated through antibiotics, that kidney stones were actually a calcium deficiency, that rheumatoid arthritis was an immune problem that, again, could be treated with antibiotics. All these are mainstream strategies today, but 10 or 20 years ago when Doc started, it was very avant-garde, in fact, probably heresy. I want to get into today Doc's newest statement, which is exercise without supplementation is suicide. And Doc, this is a very intriguing concept, but you know, down through the years, you've had so many things be proven right time and time again. I guess my first question to you is, are you the Sherlock Holmes of a healthcare?
I like to think so. I think that's probably a pretty kind description of what I do. And of course, the thing that made Sherlock Holmes famous was the fact that he would say just the opposite of what Scotland Yard was saying, and he was always right. I'd say you hit the nail right on the head. I like to be a Sherlock Holmes.
What got you onto this line of thinking, especially with the athletes? Right now, everybody's telling folks to exercise. So are they just putting their head in the noose?
They're actually putting their head in the noose. They're actually cutting their life by 30, 40, 50 years if they exercise and don't supplement. Where I ran into this was about 50 years ago, people began to study what sweat was. And they were these little bitty articles in biochemistry journals, the makeup of sweat. And it was very interesting. Most people thought sweat was primarily just salt and water. But sweat contains everything that's in your blood. And as you sweat, the primary purpose, of course, is to cool your body. But you're also losing nutrients. You're losing amino acids. You're losing vitamins. You're losing major minerals. You're losing electrolytes. You're losing trace minerals, rare earths. And it's a kind of a trickle charge. It's kind of like the toilet that just sort of runs a little bit, drip, 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 and you get a water bill for $500 at the end of the month. It doesn't seem like much, but it does, in fact, cost you in health and longevity. And so about 25 years ago, because I was an athlete in high school and college, I played football and wrestled. Of course, you sweat a lot in both those sports. And I only weighed 123 pounds and played middle linebacker and played offensive center. That's back in the old days when the players played both offense and defense. And only at 123 pounds, I was very aggressive, but never got an injury. And all these big guys, 200, 240 pounds, were always getting injuries in their ankles and so forth. And the reason I didn't was because living on the farm, I was able to have access to trace minerals that we gave to calves. And so putting together practical experience and taking advantage of some, what was 50 years ago, esoteric research, you know, what's in sweat kind of thing, put it together. And came up about 25 years ago that you were, in fact, throwing your life away if you were exercising and not replacing the minerals you're sweating out.
Wow. You know, it kind of reminds me back, you know, I don't even know when this was, but all of a sudden jogging came up, and was it Bill Kick?
Jim Fix.
Fix, okay.
You're close. Jim Fix, spelled with two X's, F-I-X-X. And, of course, he died at 52, and he wrote all the books, Run Your Way to Health, Jog Your Way to Health, and there wouldn't be any running shoes.
And yeah, wasn't it a number of the runners, including him, just all of a sudden died?
They all do. They all die suddenly. Pretty profound statement. All these guys are supposed to be healthy. They have 4% body fat. What it is, they're sweating out all of their minerals, which protect them from various diseases, including ruptured aneurysms, including heart attacks. In fact, there was a long-distance runner who died in July of 2000. His name was Leonard Hilton. He ran the sub-4-minute mile 32 times, and he was a student of Jim Fix's. And always praised Jim Fix and all his knowledge and training techniques. And Jim Fix died at 52, and Leonard Hilton, Jim Fix's student, died at 52. That's pretty much what you're going to get. There has never been a professional athlete live to be 100. And if exercise in of itself was useful for health and longevity, there should be a lot of professional athletes living to be 100, not a single one, Craig.
Wow. It might have been you that says a couch potato is actually living longer than these guys.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's me. I like to teach people the basic truth by saying something that's very provocative. That way they remember the concept. But basically what I did, since there was lots of articles written by long-distance runners saying, hey, you guys, we can get high. We can make our own opium in our brain, and you can get drugged out running long distances here and get into la-la land legally, not worry about getting arrested or anything, just by running. You can lower your cholesterol by running. You can lower your body weight a couple of points. You can get your body percentage of fat down. There's all kinds of wonders to running. How healthy it is. It's good for the cardiovascular system. But it always kind of fascinated me. There was never anything that said athletes live longer. So I decided to do my own survey, and I started looking at obituaries of professional athletes and university and college athletes compared with obituaries of couch potatoes. It's always kind of funny that librarians live to be 103, 104, conductors live to be 89, 95, and housewives live to be 115 and so forth, and the old couch potato lives to be 88 to 120. And professional athletes, the average lifespan is 62 to 65. The ones who play the most, the ones who are the stars, die the youngest. And you look at some of the famous ones, Red Grange, Jesse Owens, people like Wilma Rudolph, Babe Zaharias. You're probably too young to remember her, but she was one of the first great women athletes who could whip men in about 10 different sports. And then there was people like Wilt Chamberlain, age 63, congestive heart failure. Walter Payton, 45 years of age, died while he was waiting for a liver transplant. And he was a pristine athlete, never did drugs, never smoked, never did alcohol.
I know the basketball player that was a real
star. Reggie Lewis, 27 years old.
There we go.
Died of a cardiomyopathy heart attack, a simple selenium deficiency. He was about as fit as a human being could get. Then there was Sergei Grinkov, 28 years old, a two-time gold medal winner in figure skating. It's not just basketball players or track stars. You can be a figure skater and die young. You can be a boxer. You can be a baseball player. I have a lot of very famous baseball players, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Don Drysdale. I have all their obituaries. I actually have one who was a pitcher for the San Diego Padres, and he was only 24 years old, and he was felled by a cardiomyopathy heart attack, and they were just shocked because he'd just come up from the minors. You're sweating and not replacing those minerals you're sweating out. You're doomed to have a lot of injuries and anything that might relate to mineral and nutrient deficiencies. And certainly, you're going to shorten your life if you're not replacing everything you're sweating out.
Wow, that's incredible, because I remember, particularly with Reggie, didn't he have what's called that the dream team of cardiologists, and he died anyways?
He had the dream team of cardiologists, so they paid these 12 cardiologists $1 million each to save him. And the interesting thing was, a year and a half after Reggie died, the captain, the chairman of the dream team of cardiologists, died at age 47 himself of the same disease, cardiomyopathy heart disease. And he was a Boston Marathon runner. He'd finished the Boston Marathon 3 times, this physician, and died of the same disease at age 47.
Can't these guys figure this out?
Well, what happens is they hire these personal trainers, and they hire trainers, and they hire people who are nutritionists, and they're worried about their fat intake, and they're worried about strength training. They believe falsely that strength training is the answer for joint health. The more muscle you build up around a joint, the less likely you are to injure it. That's absolutely nonsense. Just ask Bo Jackson. You remember him? He was this great two-sports player, professional player in baseball and football.
Oh, yeah.
And he dislocated a hip joint and fractured the head of the femur, the ball part of the ball and socket joint. And they talked him into putting an artificial joint in. And, of course, he ran around like Chester from the old Gunsmoke days.
I remember him.
It was that one leg. And he was a huge man. His thighs were bigger around my chest. He was a big man. And so they said, well, why don't we even you out? We'll just take the good hip and we'll put in an artificial joint in there and then you'll be Superman. Well, of course, after that happened, he hit a few baseballs and that was about it. His career was done. But if he'd been supplementing properly, these guys could play into their 40s and 50s. I've seen this happen. We have a lot of professional athletes who had to quit their sport after 8, 10, 12 years because of joint problems. We get them on our nutrient replacement programs. And just in 6 months' time, they're stronger and more fit and have more agility and flexibility than they were when they were actually playing. And they shake their heads and they say, why didn't our high-priced million-dollar-a-year trainers tell us this? And I say, well, they don't know it because they're reading from doctor-written nutrition books. They're reading from doctor-written sports medicine books.
These folks just don't seem to have gotten the message yet.
No, they haven't, because they make their money by doing joint replacement surgeries. They make their money by doing arthroscopic surgery. They make their money by removing meniscus. They make their money by repairing torn ligaments. And so that's what they're in the business of doing. They are not interested in preventing these injuries because they make their money by repairing them.
Got it. Wasn't it Holyfield that actually was able to come back?
Right, yeah. Evander Holyfield is kind of an interesting guy. He quit in one of his fights. I guess it was against Tyson. He just quit. He just couldn't go on. Because of lack of strength, his heart began to give out. He had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy heart disease. And through a mutual friend, actually a guy who lives across the street from Evander Holyfield, Andrew Young, you may remember the name, he was an ambassador to the UN, and we were able to save Andrew Young's knees, and Andy Young said, well, why don't I see if I can take the message of Evander Holyfield, and we got Evander Holyfield taking some selenium, and sure enough, we were able to get his heart going again through the selenium supplementation, actually a more complete program than that, but it included special interest in the selenium part of the program, and as you see, he was able to come back and defend his title several times, and of course, he's been boxing, not necessarily to the level he'd want to be. He's lost the last couple of fights, but he's a remarkable athlete, and without that supplementation, he would have been finished a long time ago.
Looking at your background, you have kind of a unique background to be talking about human nutrition, but I think it probably gives you an interesting perspective. I know you started as an ag major and went to veterinary school first, and then you did a lot of research with the human studies.
Well, I think the advantage that gives me, Craig, is that in animals, we don't have insurance. We don't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, major medical, hospitalization, Medicare, and Medicaid. We don't have personal trainers. We don't have personal nutritionists. And so what we had to learn to do was prevent and cure diseases in animals with nutritional formulas, very economical to do it that way on a herd basis, put everything in their feed pellets. And that's why we have mouse pellets, rat pellets, hamster pellets, guinea pig pellets, rabbit pellets, duck pellets, goose pellets, hen laying mash, chick pellets, poult pellets, horse pellets, sheep pellets, and so on, and dog food canned, dried, cat food canned and dried. And every one of these rations is a perfect mix of every known nutrient necessary for these animals. And if we were to use a human healthcare type of system, especially the sports medicine system in animals, it'd be a sticker shock for you. Your hamburger would cost you $275 a pound just to pay for the healthcare. And so I decided to take the same concept that we did for animals, where we have special diets for animals with heart disease, kidney disease, intestinal disease, liver disease, eye disease, and so on. These diets are formulated so the animal can't pick out what they want. It has everything in there necessary to focus nutritionally on that particular organ or organ system. And I just said, well, if it works in animals so well, which it does, why wouldn't it work in people? And so about, I'd say, 1978, after trying from 64 to 78, which is 14, 15 years, I'd written my scientific articles and books and lectured to doctors, and I couldn't get doctors interested in the concept. They'd pat me on the back and say, oh, that's very interesting, but that's in animals, not people. So I went back to school and became a physician and began to use these preventative and treatment concepts with nutrition like we did in animals, and certainly the concept works like a charm in people just like it does in animals.
That's maybe why the gentleman that told me about you said, talk to Doc Wallach, he may treat you like a dog, but you'll get better.
That was a little thing that my patients came up with, because I used to hang my veterinary degree on the wall next to the medical degree, and patients, they come in, their eyes would get real big. But after a while, they kind of realized where I was coming from, and they'd start with a joke telling their friends, hey, if you're not happy with what your doctor is doing for you, go see Wallach. Now, he'll treat you like a dog, but you get better.
Dr. Wallach, talking about athletes, we've talked about a lot of the professional athletes. How about the younger ones, high school, college players? Are they at risk just the same way?
Oh, absolutely. According to the Center for Disease Control out of Atlanta, Craig, a lot of these young athletes under the age of 30 drop dead each year while they're training, exercising, or participating in sport.
Good Lord.
Yes. I saw some figures earlier this month which said that the death rate from sudden heart attacks in young athletes has actually gone up by 10% in the last year. And so there's no nutrients of any value in Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, Gatorade, and so forth, and water, just plain water. And so these young athletes wanting to get scholarships, wanting to get into the pros, and as a result, they train hard. They do all the right things. They do what their trainers tell them to do. They just don't supplement properly. And as a result, a lot of these kids who are really professional level quality athletes, even when they're in junior high and high school, these kids will get injuries that will kill their career. And there's nothing worse than these people training these kids, getting them up to the point where they are really superstars, and then a knee blows out, or they tear an Achilles tendon, or they get a shoulder injury. They get a back or neck injury, they get a finger injury, and they're pretty much done. And their whole life is ruined because their whole life was focused on these athletics. And these kids also have a high rate of depression and suicide because their whole life has been built around being the superstar of the neighborhood and the school. In fact, suicide in high school athletes is the single biggest cause of death in high school athletes.
Wow, that's astonishing. Not to mention kids like that or young people like that blowing out a knee, they've just thrown away a lot of money.
That's correct. Not only the investment they've already put in, but paying forward, so to speak, their future investment and their life, because they know when they excel and so forth and have all these benefits of the training and they have just natural talent, is really a shame. And so I do make an appeal to parents and coaches and trainers out there who might be listening to call your toll-free number, get the information, and give these young athletes a more complete replacement program so that if they do get injured, you know, if you run into a wall, you're going to get injured, you can repair quicker. The likelihood of injury is very, very slim just simply by replacing everything you're sweating out.
Got it. People listening to this, a lot of folks, we're talking about nutrition especially, will say, well, how long do I need to take these sort of things?
You take all these supplements properly until you stop using oxygen.
Got it.
There's a reason for that, and that's because our food does not contain these nutrients, and no matter how well you eat, you could spend $1 million per meal, and you're still not going to get everything you need by eating. And so you do have to consciously supplement, whether you sweat or not. But if you sweat, you're really obligated to do it in a very, very intense way.
Calcium deficiency, from everything that we've talked about in the past, seems to be, again, to use the word epidemic. And wasn't that what got your attention at one point in time, with twitching eye or something, if I remember the story?
Yeah, my personal story was I was a teenager, 14 years old, and my eyelids would twitch so bad, you could actually hear them making a noise, clicking. And asked my mom what it was, and she didn't know, and she panicked because she could see my eyelids jerking. It looked like I had some kind of electrical thing on there. My eyelids were just twitching. It looked awful. And she took me to an eye doctor. I had to drive 80 miles to St. Louis to go to one of the top eye doctors. And after a long day, she finally determined that my eyelashes were long and they were hitting my glasses and curling back and tickling my eyeballs. And she gave me a Maybelline mascara eyelash brush, and she said, I have to retrain my eyelashes.
Oh, I bet that went over well.
Oh, yeah. It didn't go over very well. Of course, I was playing football and wrestling, and I could just imagine myself sitting on the bench there with 25 or 30 200-pound guys playing with my eyelashes with a Maybelline eyelash brush. And so I dismissed that suggestion, went to the school library, and started looking up muscle cramps and muscle twitches in a health book written by a couple of nurses. And they said very clearly that muscle cramps and muscle twitches are caused by a calcium deficiency. And so I went home and I started using the calf pellets that we gave the calves. We had plenty of calcium in. When all the other kids were eating candy and so forth, I was eating calf pellets. And so at a very early age, I was very aware that mineral supplements were very, very necessary. And like I said, I would take a fencing tool and knock a corner off one of the trace mineral salt blocks. I would take calcium supplements because I was small and playing football, middle linebacker. I just never got injured in 4 years of playing because even though I was extremely aggressive, because I was taking all the raw materials to rebuild my body. And in wrestling, where you sweat more than anything else, I would spend most of my day not in class. I was running up and down the stadium steps, the football stadiums, just to stay fit for my wrestling program. And I know I sweat out a couple of quarts of sweat a day. And without replacing those nutrients, I know I would have some injuries at least, and certainly may have died. And you may recall, a couple of years ago, there were many wrestlers who died suddenly.
Yes.
Tried to blame it on some of the supplements they were taking. But basically, they were wearing rubber suits and trying to lose 5 or 10 pounds to get down into a lower weight class. And they just sweat out all their nutrients and died suddenly from that.
Well, Doc, what if someone were to come to you and say, I have a son that's in football or does a lot of athletics, or even a professional athlete, what would you tell them to protect themselves?
Well, basically, what they have to do is take a good basic supplement program that gives them all 90 essential nutrients plus the raw materials to develop properly and maintain, repair cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, bone matrix, lay down the minerals necessary for a healthy and happy bone. Also, instead of just using water or Gatorade or one of the soft drinks as a fluid replacement as they're sweating before, during, and after the events in the training session, a sports drink, it has amino acids, vitamins, electrolytes, major minerals, trace minerals, and rare earths in it, plus three time-release energy sources. Tastes very good, and it's a concentrate. You put an ounce of this into a quart of water, a liter of water, and sip on that. You're going to replace, you're going to trickle charge everything back into your system that you're losing as you sweat. And not only will this athlete reduce their risk of death and injury, but also their stamina is going to go way up. They will be much stronger in the third and fourth quarters. They'll be much stronger in the long-distance races in that last lap. They're going to be much stronger in any event than the opponents.
Excellent. So, Dr. Walk, we've kind of looked at the problem out there. Minerals seem to be the kingpin of what you're talking about, and it's funny because everybody talks vitamins.
It's a good observation, Craig, because vitamins, if you work real hard, you can actually get vitamins out of your food because plants can take carbon out of the air and manufacture vitamin A and beta-carotene and all the B vitamins, C, E, and K. But plants cannot manufacture minerals. There's not a single function in your body that can take place without mineral cofactors. You cannot utilize oxygen. You cannot utilize energy. You cannot utilize vitamins. You can't utilize proteins. You can't utilize enzymes. You cannot utilize hormones. Nothing in your body will work without one or more mineral cofactors, and yet our foods cannot manufacture minerals like they do vitamins. And so over the years, I realized that the minerals were the limiting factor and the lack of minerals were the limiting factor to long life, healthfulness, athletic prowess, and stamina. And I probably have known that since I was 14 years old and certainly developed and collected a lot of information to back up that belief over the years. And basically, minerals are the limiting factor, and so you have to consciously supplement with them properly, especially if you're an athlete and sweating. The vitamins, even a blind hog will get an egg carton sometimes. They supplement, fortify white bread, they fortify rice, they fortify chocolate bars, they fortify just about everything.
What's this document 264 you faxed over to me?
Well, U.S. Senate Document 264 was actually published by the U.S. Senate in 1936. And the U.S. Senate published this back in 1936, and it said at that time that there was no longer sufficient amounts of minerals in our farm and rain soils to give us everything we needed. And as a result, the plants, the food plants that were grown there were minerally deficient. As a result, the animals and people who ate these minerally deficient crops got mineral deficiency diseases. And according to U.S. Senate Document 264, the only way to prevent and cure these mineral deficiency diseases was to supplement properly. And we've known this in 1936. That's back at the time when we began to supplement vitamins and minerals and trace minerals into animal feeds and came up with mouse pellets and rat pellets and hamster pellets and guinea pig pellets and horse pellets and canned dog and cat food and so on to assure them optimal amounts of all known nutrients. They couldn't pick out what they wanted. Unfortunately for human beings, we're left to TV advertisements and newspaper advertisements and magazine advertisements and ignorant trainers who tell people, well, just drink Gatorade, just drink water, and just drink Pepsi-Cola, because we get good kickbacks from them.
Doc, I tell you, this is incredible. In fact, I've got some young children that now, in the back of my head, I've got all these questions going through my head on how to make sure that they survive this ordeal of growing up and being athletes. But unfortunately, we are right down to the wire. We're going to have to ask you to come back, maybe do this again.
Love to do it, Craig.
I want to thank you for being with us. This has been Dr. Wallach, National Lecturer on the Dead Doctors Don't Lie series, best-selling author, physician, veterinarian, and all-around good guy. Thanks for being with us. And for Craig Walcott here at Health Talk, have a healthy day.
Information and statements regarding dietary supplements discussed have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.